The paragraph described the 10 leprosy were cured by Jesus Christ. Okay. From the incidents, I would like to learn from you. What kind of person do you consider a person really live a life of thanksgiving? Before you go into the paragraph, I would like to know from you, what kind of person do you consider really live a life of thanksgiving? Free, huh? Any thought come up your mind? What kind of person do you consider a person who doesn't complain? Okay. Everybody is thanksgiving. Because I never heard anybody complain. Okay. Anything else? Give thanks in everything. Okay. Anything else? Okay. If you have no, all your thought is blank, and then this can be good. Let's learn from this paragraph. On the way to Jerusalem, they passed by Samaritan. They entered into the village, and there was a 10 leprosy. Waiting for Jesus, and they stand afar and crying, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus saw them and told them, "You go and to let the priest examine your body according to the law of Moses. When a leprosy cleansed, it should be examined by the priest." And while they were going, their leprosy was cleansed. And among the 10 people, one of them came back and praised God and glorified the name of God aloud. Okay. Let us examine one by one. Leprosy. In the time of Jesus, leprosy is incurable sickness. It was a nine-man, a commander in the country of Aaron. And the nine-man suffered from leprosy. No cure. At that time, the small servant suggests him, "Why don't you went to the Israelite to see the prophet of Elijah?" And Elijah commanded nine-man to take a bath in the Jordan River for 7 times. And that commander was really offended because he came with the recommendation letter of the king, and he came with a lot of gold, silver, and beautiful clothes. And Elijah didn't want to come and see him because he was hoping that Elijah will come and greet him and pray for him and lay hand on him. And Elijah done none of that. Because Elijah knew that a person who wants to receive the grace of God must be humble. And this commander tried to bribe the worker of God by silver, gold, and beautiful clothes. Tried to threaten the worker of God by the recommendation of the kings. So neither of them is working. So he intended to go back. And the little servant said, "Well, whatever he asks you to do is something minor, you know. Only taking bath for 7 times, you lose nothing." Right. Okay, and the nine-man just follow. And after he take bath for 7 times, all the leprosy was gone. And the new skin, yes, as tender as the infant. That leprosy represents sin, the people's sin. And taking bath 7 times in the Jordan River means water baptism. So water baptism could wash away your sin. Everybody, physically, you have no leprosy. If you have leprosy right now, you will not be here. But spiritually, everyone, we have leprosy, incurable sickness, which is sin. So eventually, we are going to harvest the consequence of sin, eternal condemnation. So we are all suffer from the leprosy. Without Jesus Christ, we are hopeless at all. Now, these 10 leprosy approached Jesus and was cured by Jesus. When were they cured by Jesus Christ? Look carefully, analyze the verse. When were they cured by Jesus Christ? On the way to see the priest. Yes. So today, what is the greatest grace you receive from God? What is the greatest grace you receive from God? The greatest grace you receive from God is not talking about healing of your sickness. You're not talking about you got a good job. No. The greatest grace is forgiveness of your sin. No. Just like the 10 leprosy. And when on the way to see the high priest, the priest, and their leprosy was cured. Okay. Right now, we are trying to analyze one by one. Huh? After the leprosy was cured, then what happened? How many people come back to give thanks to God? One, only one. Huh? And Jesus asked, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? Where were the other nine? Yeah. 10 of them all sick from the leprosy. Do you know? In that time, leprosy has to be isolated in a special concentration camp in order not to spread over the leprosy. Because this is a very contagious sickness. So maybe they live in that camp for 5 years, 10 years, somebody 20 years. For so long time, they never see their spouse, they never see their children, they never see their parents, they never see their relative, they never been with their home, they never see their property. So all of a sudden, when leprosy was cured, in front of them, a lot of things to do. All right. Is that right? Well, for example, you take a long vacation, 1 month after you come back home, a lot of things to do. You open the email, hundreds of email. A mailbox pile up all different kind of mail, and phone call, answering machine message, 30, 40 message. The refrigerator is empty, and the garbage can is full. A lot of work you want to do. What should you do? The same thing. When they was cured, they find out, all of a sudden, everything cured. So many things to do. Only one person think, the most important thing I'm going to do right now is let me come back to give thanks to Jesus Christ. All the nine people say, bye-bye, I have a lot of things to do. They never come back to see Jesus. So this is the only one who know how to give thanks to God. So what does that mean, thanksgiving? Thanksgiving means put God first. Especially when you are in very tight schedule, very busy schedule. You have to set up priority and put God first. That means thanksgiving. Because Jesus is so important. He saved your life. He gave you sunshine. He gave you everything. Give you health. Give you job. So every day, you have to set aside a period of time reserved for Jesus. And this period of time can never be taken away. No matter how busy you are. Every week, a certain period of time, a Sabbath time, is an appointment between you and Jesus Christ. You should never, never take away. Set priority and put God first. That is called thanksgiving. So from the lifestyle, you can understand whether a member is really a person of thanksgiving or not. Not only by listening to the mouth, whether you heard people say, thank God, thank God. Of course, it's important, but more important is from the life. What kind of life does a person live? It really the reflection of how much the person really gives thanks to God. Put God first. OK? Can you remember any other example? The Mary of Arimathea, right? Not Arimathea. Magdalene, Magdala de Maria, right? Originally, she was possessed by seven demons. If you were possessed by one demon, then your life is abnormal. Seven demons. One is talking here, two talking in this side, another one talking in the brain. One sing classical music, another sing pop, another sing rock and roll. Seven demons sing the song. You drive you too crazy. Right, how can you live a normal life? And if a person in your family, one person is abnormal, the whole family abnormal, you know? Yeah, really. If you encounter one of your family members sick, the whole schedule in your family become chaotic. So not only the Mary suffer, her family suffer too. But one day he met Jesus Christ, and Jesus commanded the evil spirit to go, and seven demons run away. After that, the Mary of Magdalene start to follow Jesus, love Jesus. No matter where Jesus go, he went, she followed. It's not easy. Nowadays, when I went to Washington, I went to have service in Washington, D.C., some people say, can I follow you? Of course, my van is all vacant. I want to go to Boston somehow. Can I follow you? Yes. But in the time of Jesus Christ, it's different. Do you want to follow me? Come. Just walk. So there's a story. There's a story. One of the pastors, he has a son. One day, his son tried to borrow a car from the father. And the father said, I can borrow me the car to you. But there are two things you have to improve. First thing is your grade is not good. The second thing is your hair is too long. And the son studied very hard. Next section, he brings the report card. The father, the grade is straight A now. I improved a lot. The father said, yes, but your hair is still too long. And the son said, well, you look into the picture of Jesus Christ, the hair is also long. I follow Jesus Christ. And the father said, yes, you have to follow Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus walk all the time? He never had a car, he walked all the time. So you have to follow Jesus. So for the Mary, to follow Jesus is not easy. You walk. It's not easy. Not only she followed Jesus, she used whatever she had to serve Jesus. That's so-called a life of thanksgiving. So today, in your real life, how do you demonstrate your thanksgiving? Did you put Jesus first? Did you do something extra for Jesus Christ? I'm very thankful. Some of you are very busy schedule, and you can take off time and come to attend the NYPS. I think that's because you have a thankful heart. Otherwise, you will never come here. Rather schedule time to have fun. So this is the first one. There are a lot of different choices, but the first thing is come back to give thanks to Jesus. However, the ratio is only what? 10%. 10 receive the grace, 1 come back to give thanks to God. Okay. So in this ratio, a church, 100 members, maybe you can only find 10 people who really give thanks to God. The second, you look into their life, in what way they show their thanks to Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let us think about, 10 people come to looking for the grace of God. Only one come back to give thanks to God. If you make a comparison, try to imagine, when 10 people do something, always some people is is walking in the front and other people follow, right? The same thing with fasting prayer. Oh. If you see a lot of people pray, oh, I bet you, oh, some members even want to eat. They tell not to eat because their conscience is not very clear. Everybody prays, so how can I go there and eat myself? Also, they automatically come and pray together. So they are the follower. But in the church, there must be someone who initiate to do something, and some people follow. And the one who initiates should be the one who really has the heart of thanksgiving. But in time when you are alone, one day, if you're passing by the church, all of a sudden, you hear somebody cry aloud, praying, and you come to the church, this one is really, really fasting prayer. But nobody here, nobody force him, nobody influence him, and he come alone. That really thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means you try to serve God automatically. Not because somebody force you, not because somebody influence you, but because the love of God inspire you. That's called thanksgiving. Automatically. Jesus Christ, he was 12 years old. He concerned about his father's business. He was filled by the love of God. Paul, the same thing. He was filled by the love of God. And he worked for God so hard. So in the church, the only reason will make a person walk very diligently for God is the love of God. Without the love of God inspire us, we serve God out of heart of thanksgiving. You will see that the holy work is very difficult to advance, to progress. So thanksgiving means you try to do something for God automatically. So if there is a brother or there are a few brothers and sisters in the church really love God, you can see the church is different. They are not waiting for the church board to give them any assignment. They are looking for some work to do in the church automatically. That's called thanksgiving. So they will automatically bring the true seeker. And they will automatically pray for those who are weak. They will automatically join the cleaning team or join the cooking team to serve. That's come from the heart of thanksgiving. So this is the second one. The third one, what is the heart of thanksgiving? What kind of heart, what kind of life consider a life of thanksgiving? Now, if you compare the time they ask for the grace and the time they give thanks to God, what's the difference? Carefully, analyze the whole paragraph. When the 10 person ask for the mercy of Jesus Christ, according to verse 12, and the person who come back to give thanks to Jesus Christ, according to verse 16, you compare these two verses. Do you find any difference? Verse 12 and verse 16. Look carefully and compare the difference. What's the difference? When they come to ask the grace of God, they stand up, right? But when they come back to give thanks to God, they bow down on the ground. That's the difference. What does that mean? Humble. A heart of thanksgiving always is a heart of humility. How come a heart of thanksgiving is a heart of humility? Because thanksgiving is to understand whatever you have is from God. If whatever is you have is from God, why are you proud of yourself? The reason we're proud about themselves is because I, So the person will become proud. But when you start to give thanks to God, you feel you are nothing. Everything is given by God. So Nebuchadnezzar, one day, looking at the city of Babylon, he was so satisfied about himself. Don't you know this is my wisdom, my power, my achievement. He never gave thanks to God at that moment. All of a sudden, there was a voice from heaven say, your kingship has departed from you. And he became crazy. He went to the wilderness and lived together with an animal for 7 years. Lived together with an animal. One day he raised up his eye, looked at heaven. All of a sudden he realized the highest one will give the kingship to whosoever, and this one can be the king. He realized he was a king because of the grace of God. And when he came back to sit in the seat of the king, his mentality is totally different. This is come from God. So a person who really give thanks to God should be a person really humble. So we see 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollo for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, and that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Verse 7. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? So Paul questioned the member in Corinth, what do you have does not come in from God? Everything you have is come from God. Then why do you puff up? You know why you are more beautiful than others? Not because my father handsome, my mother beautiful, naturally I am beautiful. It's because of God's grace. So if you really know it's God's grace, you will be very humble. I'm very handsome, I'm very humble. I'm very beautiful, I'm very humble. So everything comes from God. When you're smarter than others, you can read a good academic record. Don't look down upon others. How come you only B? I only spend a spare time and I got A. And you spend so much time, you only B. Don't look down upon others. Do you know why you get A? Because of the grace of God. God give you smart. I give you the wisdom. Everything comes from God. Then you are very, very humble. Because since it comes from God, God will take away. God can take it away. God is in control. So we'll come back to the Luke chapter 17. You understand now. A life of thanksgiving, at least, she consists of three characteristics. The first one, what is the first one? Put God first, in the first priority. The second one, love God automatically. The third one, be humble in your life. This kind of person can really consider a person really live a life of thanksgiving. One day, I always mention about this incident. One day there was a choir practice in the church. They sing the new hymn, new song. I forgot which hymn, talking about the love of Jesus. I sit in there, I listen. Oh, so touching. Even though almost the youth was going to shed tears. Jesus taught me, I love Jesus. Wow. And after the hymn singing, let us cleanse up, clean up the chapel. One by one, run away. Somebody say, I have appointment. Other one say, too late. Another one say, I have school. Another one, I have midterm. Oh, all run away. Oh, only two, three remain cleansed in there. What? 10 minutes ago, you sing, God love me. You shed tear, almost shed tear. Right now, why you run away? Oh. So loving God is not only a feeling, or is not only an atmosphere. Oh. Feeling and atmosphere is nothing. Oh. If you really love God, you must use your action, showing your love in your life to show to God, not only my feeling in my heart. My life proof, I love you. This is very important. So if a young man, a young woman get married only based on the feeling, I feel I love you very much. Oh, my heart, I have feeling, strong feeling, I love you very much. Why don't you marry me? That kind of marriage is very dangerous. Only feeling. One day your child come to the world. Who is going to change the diaper? I feel I love you very much, but you change yourself. Right? Feeling is nothing. Feeling is nothing. If you really have love, then show your deeds. Then show your deeds. Same to God. So that's the reason Abraham. Abraham, when he was very advanced age, God wanted to test. How much do you love me? God called the name of Abraham. God called my name. It must be something good. Abraham said, I am here. God said, offer your only begotten son to me. Well, I think Abraham and the candidate may be changed. My begotten son. Only 100 years old, I have this son. If you have two sons, I offer one to you, I still have one. If I am young, 40 years old, I offer one. My wife still can have another one. Right now, I'm an old man, 100 years. Once I offer this one to you, I have no one. And this one is just like a connect together with his life. But Abraham, the second day, very early in the morning, he carried his only one son and walked 3 days journey to the top of the mountain. What is the mountain name? Moriah, right? What is the mountain? Abraham over his only one son. Moriah. Okay. How come walk 3 days? Because every minute you walk towards the mountain, that is a minute, that's a moment you are closing to lose your son. So that means what? You love God, not only a feeling, not only a feeling. You have to make a decision by your ration. If you only love God by feeling, you will regret. Some people listen to the Holy Communion, listen to the words of God, and the Jesus Christ died for us. Very touching, right? A very big check throw in the offering box. When the feeling substitute, go back home. How come I write so big amount of check? Next week, come back to see the church board. Can I change another new check? So it's not only a feeling. Loving God means you use your ration to make a decision. Any moment you make a decision, I still. So Abraham keep on asking me, one day passed already. There are two other days remain. Do you still love God? If you don't, you can go back. The second day, do you still love God? You can go back. Now, after 3 days of test, he really proved, not only emotional, not only feeling, he really used his ration to make a decision. Lord, I love you. So I offer this only son to you. So loving God is the same, and the same thing. The same thing, the marriage, you love anybody. You have not only use your emotion, you have to use your ration. So when we say married by faith, what does that mean married by faith? Married by faith doesn't mean married by the blank faith. Or no matter who will introduce me, let me say, okay, I have faith. No, I don't understand it in that way. Married by faith means you understand this brother. He's a very bad temper. He always sleep until 10 a.m. But I still want to marry him by faith because rely on God, I can change him. This is called Mary by faith. That sister never cook. You see the kitchen always clean, sparkless clean. Because she never cook. Mary by faith is I want to marry her. I love her, so I want to change her. If she don't want to change, I continue to pray until she change. That's called Mary by faith. So Mary by faith doesn't mean that no matter who, as long as she's a church member, I always say yes. No, I don't think that. You understand the other party, you believe God is in, everything is possible, and you are waiting to pay price to change the other one. That's they call Mary by faith. So Thanksgiving, at least you have demonstrated three parts. What are the three ones? Put God first. Love God automatically. Be humble. Remember. If you have these three, you are really loving God. Okay. Now, I would like to study with you another one, incident. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. From verse 1 to verse 11. Verse 1 to verse 11 talking about after Peter met Jesus Christ, he experienced three stages of transformation in his life. Jesus Christ is God Himself. He is almighty and He is compassionate. He is the most beautiful person. He is the most truthful person. And He is the most faithful person. Most good, best good person. So anyone who met Jesus Christ, your life must have some kind of change. So when Peter met Jesus Christ, you can see the three different degree of transformation in his life. What is the first transformation? Okay, let me ask you, before Peter met Jesus, what happened? He couldn't catch any fish. He was experienced fisherman. He catch everywhere, nothing. And after he met Jesus, what happened? He caught a lot of fish, and even the fish had to put into two boats, and the boat almost sink. This is the first transformation. What does that mean? From having nothing to having two boats of fish. This is first transformation. Before we met Jesus Christ, we lack the grace of God. We lack peaceful mind. We lack the grace in Jesus Christ. We lack that kind of eternal hope. We lack strength inside us. We lack a very clear goal. We lack a lot. We always worry. We always feel anxiety. We always feel empty. Now, after Jesus, you met Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you feel you have a lot of grace of God. Your life become abundant. And this is the first stage of transformation, from nothing to something. If anybody who believe in Jesus and experience nothing change, I think maybe Jesus is very remote to you. How can Jesus, so mighty power of God, and close to you and you did not change? It's impossible. So this is the first stage of the change. So let us think about, after you believe in Jesus, do you really change? Do you feel the grace of God is so near to you? is so abundant, is sufficient for you, and every day you experience the new grace of God. Do you have that kind of feeling? Oh, if you do, then Jesus Christ is very close to you. Just like Peter, Jesus was so close to him. If you don't, maybe Jesus is very far away from you. This is the first stage. Now let's carefully analyze another point. How can Peter experience from nothing to something? From lacking something to have abundant grace. How? Carefully analyze. How? Yes. First, there are a few reasons. The first one is, verse 4. After Jesus finished the sermon. What kind of sermon did Jesus deliver? Jesus did not teach Peter how to catch a fish. Jesus' sermon is related to something spiritual. The kingdom of God has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with catching the fish. Now, after listening to the sermon, then he catches the fish. What does that mean? Put God first. Seek his righteousness first. And you will experience the grace of God. So if you keep on looking for a job, you cannot find a job, why not? Draw near to God, pray more. Do more holy work. If you put God first, God has miraculous way to arrange your needs. So in terms of timing, after listening to the sermon, Jesus multiplied the bread to feed 5,000, right? So seek his kingdom and righteousness first. Okay, now, any other reason? Previously, the boat was empty. Right now, full of fish. You look into, you count the head, different head, right? Previously, only Peter alone on top of the ship, the boat. Right now, you look very afar on top of the ship. How many person? Two person. Another one is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus used his boat. So the reason he catch a lot of fish, because Jesus was on boat. So he caught a lot of fish. That is to tell us, if you want to experience abundant grace of God, you have to invite Jesus into your heart. Invite Jesus into your house. Okay? Don't put Jesus Christ only in the church. You know, some church member, after they attend the service, they put into the back and put somewhere in the chair. They just put here. And they go back home. They never read the Bible. And the church pray a lot. Go back home, never pray. They only leave Jesus here. Never invite Jesus back to home. That's not good. Bring the Bible back. And in the home, you read the Bible. And also at home, pray. And your home will be filled with the blessing of God. Joseph was a person, God really with him. When Joseph was sold to Egypt in Potiphar's family, even Potiphar was an atheist. He started to feel that after Joseph came to my home, the blessing of God followed him. How wonderful that would be. Right? And later on, Joseph was trapped into the prison. Even the prisoner feel, when Joseph comes, the grace of God follow him. It's just like Psalm chapter 23, all right? Full pay money. The blessing of God just pour into a cup. If you pour the water into the cup until the cup full, what is going to happen? You continue to pour and it's overflow. Flow to the table, flow to the floor. You are like a cup. If the grace of God is filled upon you, and the grace of God will flow out, and the people surrounding you will enjoy the grace of God because of you. God was with you. So wonderful. If your whole family, one person like to pray, really been filled by the Holy Spirit, really have the abundance of God, and the whole family member, you don't even don't have to pray, the grace of God is sufficient. Yeah, really, I met a sister in Hawaii. She told me, when my mother was young, I never when my mother was still alive, I never prayed. How come you never pray? Because my mother prayed a lot. So when I never pray, I have a lot of grace of God. But now my mother passed away, so I have to pray. So one family, if there is a person who really like to pray, really get connected with Jesus Christ, then you don't worry anything. The blessing of God is overflow from him or her and to you. So this is the second. Invite Jesus into the boat, into your family, into your heart, and the blessing of God will be sufficient to you. The next reason, how come they can catch the whole fish? Try, look carefully. Next reason, why they can catch a full of fish? Yeah, verse 5. We labor whole night, we catch nothing, but we follow your instruction, then cast out the net, and they catch a lot of fish. Try to think about. From the 12 years old of Jesus' life until he was 30, in the Bible, blank. Where did Jesus go? Some people say Jesus went to India to seek after spiritual cultivation. I don't think so. Your Bible never says so. Where did Jesus go? Jesus spent home together. His father was a carpenter. Maybe Jesus can make a suitcase. Jesus can make a bed. He can make a table. He's a very good carpenter. And for Jesus Christ to catch a fish, I think he's a layman. If he fall down on the lake, I don't know whether he could swim or not. And Peter was an experienced person, experienced fisherman. But when Jesus said, cast down the net into the ocean, if Peter used a reason to think, I'm an experienced person. The same spot I catch for many times, I will never follow you. He will never catch a lot of fish. The reason he catch a fish is temporarily, don't use your reason, just obey. Just obey, and you catch the net, and you receive a lot of fish. So what does that mean? How can you experience a lot of grace of God in your life? Trust and obey. Right? There's a hymn case, so trust and obey. Don't think about too much. Trust and obey. If the Bible says, offer the tithes, then offer the tithes. No discount. Trust and obey. Some people ask, what kind of tithes? Is that after tax or before tax? It doesn't matter. The more you offer, the more blessing you receive. If you really feel after the tax, then after the tax. If you really feel that before the tax, then before the tax. The more you offer, the more you receive blessing. Even some brothers ask me, how about the mortgage? Well, if you want to deduct the mortgage and offer the tithes, it's okay. But if you don't deduct, then even better. Right. So, whatever Jesus told you, just follow. Just follow. Then you are going to experience the blessing of God. Don't use your own brain to calculate. I earn, 80,000 a year. The tithe is 8,000, a lot. Too much, right? You start to calculate, you offer 8,000, you only remain 72,000, right? One day, if you start to do the business, you earn, about 1 million. You calculate, 100,000 of tithes. It's even more difficult. So the one who really offers the tithes is the one working in the company. The one who do the big business always not the one who over the tithes because the amount is too big. But if you can follow very simple things, just follow and the blessing of God is there. Sabbath, just follow and the blessing of God is there. So they offer and they experience a lot of grace of God. So this is the first transformation from nothing to abundance of the fish. The second transformation, if you analyze Luke chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 8, analyze Luke chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 8, the way Peter addressed Jesus Christ. And you can understand there is a very subtle transformation. In verse 5, what did Peter call Jesus? Master. Master is translation is teacher. So Peter considered Jesus one of the many, many teachers. Okay. Then after Peter experienced so much fish, he was astonished. This never happened. Then verse 8, how did Peter address Jesus? Lord. Let me ask you, most of you graduate or are going to go to college. You call your teacher, right? Or professor. After you taking a class, does any one of you change Lord? Did you call your professor Lord? Raise your hand. How come you never change? Teacher is teacher. You are you, I am I. How can you call me Lord? Lord means what? Lord, it means I am waiting to submit myself to you in your control. That means Lord. So Peter, after he witnessed the boat of fish, he changed. His relation with Jesus changed. Previously, I only consider you a teacher. After you finish the teaching, maybe you go. The different teacher is coming. But now, I'm waiting to accept you as a Lord. You are in control of my life. I am your servant. I'm to submit to you. You are my Lord. This is the second stage of transformation. Do you consider Jesus as your Lord? Or you only consider Jesus as your teacher? If you consider Jesus is your Lord, what should you do? Everything, ask. Lord, what do you want me to do? One day, if somebody like you, want to marry you, call Jesus, Lord, what your will? What do you want me to do? Put Jesus first, and ask Jesus Christ. I know there's a preacher, one day he told his daughter, it's not me, don't think of too much here. My daughter is still young. He told his daughter, at that time he's also in the high school. But one day if you see a brother you really like, tell me, I will pray for you to see what is God's will. I really envy this father. He never teach his daughter, say, look, if that brother has good condition, look handsome, that should be. He never say so. If you really feel you like somebody, let me pray for you. To see what is God's will. That is the right way. Lord, you are in control of me. I am waiting to submit myself to you. Because you in control of everything. You are my Father in heaven. You are smarter than I do. Your will is high above my will. So this is the second transformation. Not only a teacher, very remote. Not related at all. It's very tight. Lord, you are my Lord. And from the second state, then change into the third state of the life. What is the third state of change, transformation? Within 2 minutes, I'm going to finish. Because I start from a 5 minute state. What is the third state of the transformation of life? Previously, he was a fisherman, right? Right now, Jesus called him to be the fisher of men. Previously, he only catch the fish. Right now, Jesus want him to catch the soul. If Peter continued to catch the fish, maybe by good luck, every day can fill up 2 boats of fish. It's almost impossible. Suppose it's possible. Then his livelihood is very comfortable. But eventually Peter died, everything finished. Today there is no Peter in the Bible. No 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Maybe change another person. But Jesus said, come, I want to make you the fisher of men. And then verse 11, Peter did not sell the boat and sell the fish and follow him. Say, Peter just forsake the boat, of course the fish inside, and follow Jesus. Start from that day on, Peter's life become very meaningful, very valuable. You see, in the day of Pentecost, Peter, one sermon, 3,000 people were saved. One soul is far more valuable than one world. 3,000 people were saved. How valuable Peter's life was, right? Think about. Jesus calling you to serve him. Yes, you can choose computer science. You can choose medical school. You can choose law school. You have a very prestigious status. You have a very high income. Yes, but you follow the pattern of Peter, only did for yourself. Eventually, it turned out to be vanity. But if you are willing to respond to Jesus' calling, then come, serve me, and I will become, let you become fisher of men. Then your life will be different, more valuable. So this is the third stage of Peter's transformation after he met Jesus. From nothing to abundance of fish. From knowing Jesus superficially and to consider Jesus as the Lord. And from a fisherman to become the fisher of people's soul. So this is a very good transformation. And I hope it will help you to think about the direction of your future life. Let's pray in silence.